Had a due diligence defence. In other words, you've got to do your best not to be to do things right, and you can prove that. So there's clearly a legal imperative, and Kevin's paper finished on the note that the global initiative is in being incorporated into a legal framework within the USA. So I think that sets the scene for the day, hopefully, and I'd like to ask Louise Manning now to just tell us about the legal imperative. Clearly there are some legal requirements on food manufacturers to do the right thing, and hopefully she can point us in the right direction.
Okay, well, good morning. It's not the most exciting title, so please don't switch off because of the words that are up there. But I explain why I'm here, because you're probably all sitting there thinking, why is she standing up there? I have worked in the food industry for 25 years. I was the editor of the fifth edition of the IFSC Good Manufacturing Practice Guide, and I've funded my own PhD in quality assurance. Now, it's not an exciting thing to tell people when you're at a dinner party that you've spent 5 years writing about 70,000 words on quality assurance, but that's what I did. So I want to talk to you today about why you should have systems in place, food safety systems. Now, I'm going to try in about half an hour to cover this. Now, don't go to sleep because you're going to look at these words and say, my aim is for you to have a very clear understanding at the end of half an hour on the difference between validation, monitoring and verification. If a food manufacturer, if a food retailer does not understand the difference between those three words, they do not have the due diligence defense. Now, the thing is, third-party auditing is a small part of this, verification. Having a BRC certificate does not give a manufacturer a due diligence defense. Gives a retailer a due diligence defense, but not a manufacturer. And it's very clear that, especially if you are a food business operator, that you have to have a food safety system in place. Now I'm going to go back to the Food Safety Act 1990. When I go into food businesses now, the technical managers, most of them weren't even born before 1990. They've never heard of Edwina Curry. I had spent 15 minutes explaining Edwina Curry and eggs once. They didn't even know who she was. Before 1990, as a food manufacturer, you could sign a warranty statement. I promise this food is safe. That's all you have to do. And I signed lots of them. I promise. In 1990, that changed dramatically. Now, I'm not going to read the content of every slide, but they're there for you to go back and look at. But essentially, your responsibility as a food operator is that you do not treat the food in any way which could harm the health of people eating it. Also, that food that is sold is wholesome. That's quite a difficult one, isn't it? Some of us talk to people and I say, what's the food like in your fridges? Is that the same food that you see going down the production line? Because wholesomeness, quality, is subjective. There's different shades of quality. It's the different shades of legality or safety. No, it's black and white. Food is either safe or unsafe. And it's very important that anyone working in the food industry understands that. So, as the previous speaker said, we have the due diligence defence. The due diligence defence was designed to balance on the one hand the protection of the consumer, that they could reasonably expect to be sold safe food, and that the food business operators had done everything reasonable to avoid committing that offence. Now back in 1990 that was a huge challenge because the word reasonable, if I'm looking at it as a scientist, I put numbers on it. This is safe, this is unsafe. If I'm a consumer, I'm much more subjective. And for the students, if they read the work of Marie Nestle, she talks about this in a lot of detail. If I'm a consumer and I buy a product, I want absence of metal. Can we measure that in a factory? Can we just measure to the limit of detection of the equipment? What's acceptable? If you're prosecuted, who decides whether you've done everything reasonable? Is that a judge or is that a jury? So that's led food businesses to think of all the things that they need to do to avoid committing an offence or to be found guilty in prosecution. So those nine words there have shaped the whole of the food industry. Subsequent legislation has still maintained that due diligence defence. Now, the food industry by and large is driven by the retailers, and as was ably expressed in the previous presentation, there is a huge difference for a retailer if they are supplying shelf space for a branded product and their due diligence defence, and if they have an unlabeled product. Because if they're commissioning a manufacturer or they're commissioning farmers to grow their product, they've got to show that they've made reasonable checks on them. So by and large, all the auditing that's developed so far has been driven by this due diligence defence. Is that enough for a manufacturer? And what constitutes reasonable precautions? Now, very often I'll go into the factory and they're all very excited because they've got their overalls and they've changed the name on them. Yesterday they were quality controllers, today they're quality assurance. Can you do that? Is it just a change of overall? And in some businesses it is, very much. There are two distinct ways of making sure that you are managing food safety. Now some businesses would say, some industries would say, let's just put irradiation at the end. We're going to put irradiation, we've got control, we'll put irradiation at the end of our process and we don't have to pay for all the other things that go on. What's the consumer going to think about that? They haven't got pest control, but they're going to irradiate it at the end, so that's okay. And that's one of the challenges we face with just the control and detection system. If it goes wrong, what other protections you've got in place? And that's why, by and large, an assurance system is developed, looking at methods of preventing a food safety problem. But assurance costs money. Assurance, paying a pest controller to come 8 times a year when you've never seen a rat, that costs money. And that has led to a huge growth in the cost of food safety systems. And a lot of businesses face that every single day, especially in the commercial market that they live in. Mortimer tried to put all of this onto one page and talk very much about how food safety fits into an overall quality management system, and it's almost like the BRC standard on one piece of paper. We've got our HACCP and our HACCP study for food safety. We've also got these things called prerequisite programs. 15 years ago, no one had heard of the prerequisite program. Now, everybody's talking about them. What we're looking at is, do we have a food safety system that's zero risk? And that's a challenge we face as businesses if we're looking at that word reasonable precaution. Every time we get in our car, we don't expect a zero risk system. Every time we cross the road, every time we do a whole range of things in life, we don't expect zero risk. But with food, do the consumers? Are we expected to have a system that will deliver food that never goes wrong? Well, if you look at the Food Standards Agency website, you can see by and large that doesn't happen. At least once a week there are recalls on that website. Now, HACCP has been used since for many, many years, but it has a major, major flaw. Because you have to decide the likelihood and severity of a hazard. You have to make a scientific judgment. What if you don't know? How do you make a judgment on whether you can control that hazard to an acceptable level? Very, very difficult. How do you know that your cleaning procedure will work every single day of the year? It also doesn't address emerging hazards. An as yet unknown hazard, you can't decide the likelihood of severity because you don't know it exists. And what we're seeing with a lot of the more recent food safety scares, they're hazards we haven't always heard of. So, HACCP has a place. It has a role in minimising risk, but it's not a zero risk system. So how do we actually minimise risk? We minimise risk in a food business by ensuring that we cover these three areas. Validation. When I design my food or my food process, am I designing it, engineering it to produce safe food? How do I know that the size of my chicken piece in my chicken pie and the cooking temperature I have got before I ever start putting them all down the line will deliver safe food? How do I know that the sugar content, salt content, pH of my food will stop harmful pathogens from multiplying in that food? But every food business does not have a due diligence defence, in my opinion, without demonstrating that they have validated that food and that process. Now there's elements of that in third party assessment, but a business has to be able to show that. When do you revalidate? If you have a new product or a change of product, if you decide we're doing a whole range of ice creams, we're not going to put nuts in our ice cream. If you decide you're going to get bigger chicken pieces in your pie, have you revalidated and checked the temperatures? Are you monitoring to see if there's a shift in your production? Again, many food product recalls have been as a result of minute shifts over time in a production process. So that without revalidation, they didn't notice. If you have system failure, product recall, customer complaints, again you've got to go and revalidate that process. There may be new scientific or regulatory information. You may suddenly have an emerging pathogen that no one's ever heard of. How are you going to make sure your food is now designed to be safe and your process will minimise risk? Once you've set up your system, you are going to make sure that your system works by both monitoring and verification. And this is where HACCP plans that are challenged can sometimes fall apart. What's the difference? Monitoring is real time. Monitoring is, I can do these checks and stop the product going out the door. What's the average time between a retailer order and the lorry going? Sometimes it's like 4 hours. But anything more than 4 hours is not monitoring, because you can't get that product back under control as a manufacturer. It's verification. And it's very important that businesses realise that. Monitoring is online, real time. Many businesses have tried to reduce the number of their critical control points by stating that their prerequisite programs are so robust that they will never have a food safety hazard go above a safe limit. So are you monitoring them? If you're not monitoring them, how can you be sure? So, many, many businesses are actually doing much more verification than they think. Verification are all the methods, all the tests that you do, apart from online monitoring, to make sure that your food is safe. Pesticide residue checks. Very often they're done once a year. That's verification. Some microbiological analysis is actually verification, because by the time you get the results, someone's eaten it. So it's very, very important that when you're designing a due diligence defence, you know the difference between these two mechanisms. So, a glass audit. How many of you do glass audits? Okay. What is it? Is it a control measure? Is it monitoring or verification? If you do it before production starts, so you can guarantee that every piece of glass in your factory or your processing area is intact before you start, it's a control measure. It's a positive release. If the personnel do it sometime during the day and the product is still on site, it's monitoring. If you do it once a week, it's verification. Because you could have run for a whole week with glass somewhere in your factory because a glass item is broken. Are people clear about what they are actually doing in their food businesses? Because many people have got this wrong. And they are relying on systems that actually aren't delivering the level of risk reduction that they expect. Verification is about review. It's about all the things that you do to make sure that the product and the process stay within the guidelines that you've set and that you have an effective food safety system. And more importantly, that your critical control points, your food safety control points, are actually delivering safe products. And verification can be done in a number of ways. It can be a system audit. You can say, there's a whole range of international system standards that I could use. I am going to dovetail my food safety system to one of those. And I'm going to check my paperwork against that standard. Do I meet it? It could be a compliance audit. This is what we say we do. Do we actually do it in practice? Or it could be an investigative audit. It could be we've had a major problem, let's go and see how that could have occurred. So there's different kinds of audits. As a food business, which audit are you doing? Are you doing one in the middle that's vaguely some of those? Or are you very clear on the intent of the auditing? And verification can be done through internal audits, where you're auditing your own systems and procedures. It can be done through external audits, where there's a contract between you and the people auditing. It could be a retailer auditing a manufacturer auditing a supplier. There is a contract between you. Or we have seen the growth of third-party audits. And we've also seen at the same time the growth of the systems around third-party audits to make sure that they are consistent and reflect what was actually seen on the day. Because then we come to the real nub of the problem with auditing. If you want an audit to be part of your due diligence defence, because by and large, whether it's brand protection, business protection, you want your audit to be able to be held up in a court of law if something goes wrong, there must be objective evidence in that audit. There's got to be proof, and I'm not going to go through the whole of this, there's got to be proof that the information, the records, the statements, are real and are based on either your observation, measurements that you have taken, tests that you have done, and they themselves can be verified. So if somebody afterwards said, did this audit take place, let me go and see, they've got evidence that that audit actually took place. And that is very, very important. So to have a due diligence defence, the audit evidence that you've got, either as retailers in files or as manufacturers in files, must fulfil all of these criteria. It's got to be valid. It's got to actually reflect the food safety objectives that you're trying to meet. It's got to be authentic. Are a set of ticks on a checklist that's signed at the bottom with no objective evidence, no supporting documentation, how can you demonstrate that's authentic? You could take a photo of the person doing the audit, couldn't you, that's timed and stick it on the back? But how can you prove you actually did that? You must have supporting evidence. It's got to be current. It's got to reflect what you're doing. An audit of part of your process 3 or 4 years ago, when you've gone and changed 4 bits of equipment in that process, isn't current and doesn't reflect a review of your system. And it's got to be sufficient. So auditors have also got to be able to demonstrate their food safety knowledge and their technical competence. Now very often that's done through training, but they've still got to be able to apply it in the food environment. They've still got to know enough about food safety systems, about what happens in a manufacturing area, and what could go wrong. And that is the strength of internal audits, because you know your systems, you know your procedures. You can't audit areas you're responsible for, but you know the process itself. So the role of auditing is to obtain objective evidence. And when auditors come and audit you, that's what they're doing. They are taking a snapshot in time in your business and they are trying to develop a range of objective evidence that you comply with the system standards. Now that was true on the day they came. What else do you do in your due diligence defence to prove that you do it all the time? And that's that extra element of the due diligence defence. So you're looking to see that the food safety management system, HACCP plan and the prerequisite programs are appropriate. What's appropriate in a carrot cabbage packing station on a farm is totally different to a sandwich factory. And appropriate is very, very important. It's implemented. So not only have you designed all your procedures, policies and everything else, they're not just in a lovely range of files along someone's wall, a nice technical manager colour-coded all the nice plastic sleeves perfectly tight, but never left the room. They're actually implemented. It's done every single day. But not only that it's implemented, so every 30 minutes you've done this check, or every day you've done this other one, but that it's effective. So the role of auditing is about the collation of data, observation and tests. And sometimes that's lost. And it's very important that the amount of energy that's put into auditing delivers objective evidence of your business. So, legislation. Legislation continues to change. For many businesses, they are actually selling to other regions of the world where the legislation could be different. And they have to be aware of that, not only when they design their products, but also the level of hygiene in their processes. The due diligence defence is actually what's driving the rise in auditing. We've seen the rise in third-party auditing, and depending on resources and commitment, they are second-party auditing. Different companies have different objectives. And then we've got internal auditing. one of the biggest challenges for any auditing are two things. Checklist fatigue, and you can go to businesses everywhere where there is checklist fatigue. You give someone at the start of the day 20 checklists they've got to fill in. And then you tell them, but you've got to do all this other role as well. So checklist fatigue is a big problem. The other one is what's often called checklist myopia. If it's not on the checklist, I don't check it. Many, many food safety incidents have arisen because of this myopia. And you're almost blinkered. There's no checklist. And that again comes back to the competence, the technical skills of the auditing, of being able to go in a food manufacturing area and be able to look at it to identify potential risks. Some of those that are inconsequential, some that are very important. To train people doing internal audits that they should have that frame of mind as well. Not just check all the and tick, but check and tick, all the lights are intact, but something to look, have we got something new? Has a new dial appeared in the last week in our factory? Has something happened in our process that we need to address? And those two things, checklist myopia, checklist fatigue, are very, very important. And businesses should actively seek to reduce those, the risk of those to their products. So, validation. Validation is about making sure that you have designed your products and your processes to deliver safe food. And that if you make any changes to that product or process, it is still designed to deliver safe food. Monitoring. What you do online in real time so you can bring the product back under control. Anything that's after that is not monitoring. Verification. All the things that you do, and if you sit and look at your food safety management system, by and large, the highest proportion of the checks, inspections, supplier certificates, questionnaires, supplier certificates, getting everything in from them, is verification. It's not done in a time where you could actually prevent a certain consignment of product arriving at your factory on one day, prevent that, if there's a problem with it, going through your food supply chain. You can minimise risk, but you won't prevent it. As we said, it's not a zero risk system. And then we come to the role of auditing. Auditing is essential to a food business. Without it, you do not have a due diligence defence because you can't prove that A, you've taken all reasonable precautions, and B, you haven't got proof that you have checked that your systems and procedures are working effectively. The challenge for a business is to decide, how do we audit effectively? How do we take the resource we've got and pinpoint areas of the business where there's the highest risk that we need to manage? Okay, I've tried to keep the time.
Fantastic.
I'm afraid it sounds a bit grand, but I've got to speak a bit later at another conference. I'm only here till coffee. If anyone wants to talk to me, coffee, that'd be great, or ask questions. But if you want to email me, I'd be more than happy to answer an email. So thank you.